The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 14, verse 13 to 18. It is page 212 in the New Testament. I will read the chapter 14, verse 13 to 18. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreathed the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd, shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way. Yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has shown kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crop in their seasons. He provided you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Amen. Generally, in all of the holy books of the religions in this world, the great names that appear in those holy books describe these men without any fault. And there is absolutely no mention of the man's fault or mistakes. This is because the focus of these holy books is on showing how perfect these great men of their religion are. But in the Bible, all of the great men of faith who make appearances in the Bible are consistently, without exception, men full of faults. The Bible, rather than trying to cover up the faults of these men of faith, does not hesitate at all in exposing every one of their faults. This is because what the Bible tries to emphasize is not the greatness of men, but the grace of God. The men who have lost their humanness because of sin can only recover their humanness in God's grace and live as a man like man. So apart from God's grace, there could be no difference among men, regardless of gender, age, status, or wealth, just based on their humanness alone. Now, when the Israelites were suffering from oppressions of Midianites, Gideon fought the great army of Midian with only 300 men and restored Israel's sovereignty. Now, the Israelites, who were in great misery because of Midianites' oppression, of course, revered Gideon as the hero who saved their nation. But the reason that Gideon was able to fight off the great army of Midianites was not because he was born as a great fighter or because he was an outstanding strategist. He was originally born as a son of a farmer. The reason that he was to overcome the great Midian army was due to the grace of God, that even though you're completely lacking in abilities, if you throw yourselves on God, then God will surely, well, take responsibility for you. But Gideon, as the time went by, came to mistake himself as somebody great. And it resulted in disorderly life. When he died, he had no less than 70 sons. Now, since he had 70 sons, how many daughters must have he had, and how many more wives he must have had in order to have these many sons and daughters? And now, this was not enough for Gideon, so he had a concubine in Shechem and had a son named Manasseh. Abimelech. So precisely, Gideon's sons numbered 71. Isn't it only too clear that if you have many children from many women, there will be discord among the children because of their varying interests? Now, when Gideon died, Abimelech, the son of Gideon's concubine, hired thugs in order to take over the seat of power and leadership that his father had enjoyed. And he carried out a great evil act in which he gathered his 70 brothers at one place and massacring them. In this killing, 69 of his brothers lost their lives, and only one brother, Jotham, narrowly escaped death. Now Abimelech, who killed 69 of his brothers, made himself king of Shechem, where he lived. But Jotham, who survived, condemned Abimelech's act of brutality before the people of Shechem by telling a parable. And this parable is recorded in chapter 9 of the book of Judges. One day, the trees in a forest decided to select a king. The trees first asked the olive tree to become their king. The olive tree refused, saying that it could not forget its task of glorifying God and men with its oil in order to rule over the trees. The trees then asked the fig tree to become their king, but the fig tree also declined, saying that it could not give up the responsibility of making sweet and beautiful fruits in order to sway over the trees. Next, the trees asked the grapevine to become their king. But the grapevine also turned them down, saying that it could not give up the wine that cheered both God and men in order to become their king. So trees, not having much option, finally turned to a thorn bush to ask the thorn bush to become king. Then the thorn bush said, as if he had been waiting all along to say this, "If you really want me to be king, then come and take refuge in my shade." Now this means you have to come under my rule. "If anyone refuses this, then I will set you to fire, even if you are the cedar of Lebanon." At that time, the cedar of Lebanon was considered the best of all woods and was handled most preciously by people. Therefore, that the thorn bush would not hesitate to set the cedar of Lebanon on fire meant that this would be all the more true for other trees. Now, is there any shade under a thorn bush? A thorn bush which does not have a single leaf not only is without a shade under which others may take rest, is actually a weapon that pricks and stabs other trees. Now, for the thorn bush to say that it would set fire on all the trees that do not take refuge under its shade meant the reason the thorn bush said that was due to his foolishness in completely forgetting his station. Now Jotham, through this parable, was saying that Abimelech, who had killed 69 of his brothers to make himself king, was a man who, far from having the qualities of a leader, was rather like a thorn bush that does not know his station, does not know his place, and hurt other people like a weapon. Now the life of Abimelech, a thorn bush, ended tragically when the two sides of his skull became crushed by a millstone thrown by a woman. He was not only a thorn bush that stabbed other people, but himself as well. But this was not only the problem of Abimelech. The problem actually began, if we look back, with his father, Gideon. He was the culprit who sowed the seeds of the problem with his own hands by having so many women as wives and concubines and giving birth to no less than 71 stepbrothers. Now, who was Gideon? Wasn't he the hero of the nation who freed Israel from the oppression of the Midian? When he resided in the grace of God, although he was an unknown farmer, he was able to become the hero who saved his country. But when he forgot his station and avoided the God's grace, he also was nothing more. He was nothing more than a weapon, a thorn bush, that stabbed other men and himself, even after he died. It is that important that a man does not forget his station, his place. This is the essence of the Bible. When Paul preached at Lystra among the people who listened to him, there also was a lame man who had never stood up or walked from the time of his birth. He listened to Paul's sermon with all his heart. And Paul, while delivering his sermon, regarded him and saw that he had the faith to be healed. So Paul commanded him in a loud voice to stand up with your feet. And at the same time, the paralytic man jumped up and walked. The fact, the people of Lystra who witnessed this fact, this scene, couldn't help but be amazed. They shouted out in their dialect, Lyconian language, that gods have come down to earth in human form and called Barnabas, who was good-looking as Zeus of Greek myth, and Paul, who didn't look as good as Barnabas, as Hermes, the messenger of Zeus. At the time, the common language used by people in the Roman Republic was Latin. But most of people of the Roman Republic actually use Greek that had been used by them for a long time. That the people of Lystra understood the sermon given by Paul, and that Paul preached meant that Paul preached that day in Greek, and that the people of Lystra at the time used Greek as their language. But when they saw the paralytic man jump up and walk, they were so surprised that they But they shouted out in their mother tongue, which they were more familiar with, and not in Greek, that Barnabas was Zeus and Paul was Hermes. But Paul, of course, did not understand the Lyconian language and couldn't understand what they were saying. Let's take a look at verse 13. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreathed the city gates because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. Outside the gate, city meant outside the city wall of Lystra. The priest of Zeus, who was at the temple of Zeus, located right outside the city gate, had come to the city gate and brought bulls and wreath. In our Korean language Bible, it is recorded as a single bull, but in Greek original, it is recorded as plural. And before the city gate meant before the gate of the city wall. In ancient towns, there was a very large square around the city gate where markets, meetings, or trials took place. And because Paul, since there was no Jewish synagogue in Lystra, had preached at the city gate and performed the miracle of raising up the paralytic man, and he continued to preach there. And so the priest of Zeus who had appeared before the city gate where Paul and Barnabas was, came there to make sacrifice to them, whom surely appeared as Zeus and Hermes to him. But Paul and Barnabas, watching all of this unfolding, had no idea what they were about to do. Let's take a look at verse 14. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, Paul and Barnabas, who didn't know what was going on, asked someone who was there what was happening, what they were trying to do. And it was only then when he told them in Greek what was happening, it was then that they came to realize that people of Lystra were trying to sacrifice to them, thinking they were gods, and became totally shocked. Let's take a look at verse 14 again. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd, shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you." Now, the minute that Paul and Barnabas realized that people of Lystra were trying to worship them as gods, they tore their clothes. The Jewish people, when they encounter great sorrow, or when they witness a great sin being committed before God, they express their sorrow or their anger by tearing their clothes. The reason that Paul and Barnabas tore their clothes was due to the second reason. That people of Lystra were going to worship them as gods meant that before God, they were going to commit blasphemy. So Paul and Barnabas, after tearing their clothes, rushed into the crowds who were watching them and cried out in a loud voice why they were doing this, that they were only men, human, just like them. Now, the Korean word 성정, in English expressed as humans like you, means personality and heart. So that Paul and Barnabas shouted, "We are humans like you," meant that we too are persons who have the same personality and hearts as you. But in reality, not all the people in this world have the same personality and heart. There are people who are born with a good personality. And there are those who reveal nasty personality in everything. And there are people who are born with rough hearts and live as such. And there are people who have fine hearts, soft like silk. Therefore, The Korean translation, which states that we too have the same personality and hearts as you, does not quite convey perfectly what Paul was trying to say. If we look at the Greek original of what Paul has said, we realize that what he has said contains much deeper meaning. The Greek word homoiopathes is a word that contains the meaning of homoios, which means the same, and paskos, which means to suffer or to go through. And therefore, its literal meaning is to suffer or to go through the same thing. So when Paul and Barnabas said that we too are only men, human like you, what Paul had meant was that we go through and experience the same things that you do. Now, what were these same things that that were experienced? That we were born as naked babies just like you. That we had to wear diapers because we couldn't go to the bathroom when we were babies. That we eat when we are hungry, we sleep at night, and go to the bathroom in the morning. That we also want better things if we have a chance, and to eat better things. That we are also humans who laugh when we are happy, and cry when we are sad, and become angry. That we too like those who compliment us and hate those who speak badly of us. That we also are human beings, and our bodies and mind decline with our age. And that we are nothing more than human beings like you, that when our breathing stops, who will return to being a handful of earth. We are also like you, are sinners who live in the midst of sin's temptation every day. So, in this way, there can be no difference between us and you. And it is totally unreasonable for you to try to worship us as gods. In one word, Paul was not like foolish Abimelech who did not know his station. In other words, thornbush. If Apostle Paul had enjoyed being revered as Zeus and Hermes, Zeus, by the people of Lystra, forgetting his station, then he would have turned into a weapon, a thorn bush, who not only hurt the people of Lystra, but himself before God, for sure. But Paul, who had actually initially been a thorn bush who stabbed others, by not forgetting the fact that he was no better than a thorn bush, not forgetting his station, was able to become, paradoxically, to become the pathway of eternal life and love, who brings life to others in the grace of God during his entire life. And so after Apostle Paul declared to the people of Lystra that he was mere men, human like them, He confessed in 2 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, that he had become who he was only by the grace of God. Not forgetting oneself and one's station before God is important as this, because it is only those who do not forget their station who can continue to abide in God's grace. Long time ago in rural villages, the people of the villages used to respect school teachers so much that there were people who believed that teachers didn't go to bathroom. And this was, I'll tell you a story. This was already 20 years ago when I first began to pastor the Lord's Church. I went to bathroom between the first and the second service. When I went in, no one happened to be there. When I came out after I was done, I ran into a fellow member of the church. This person saw my face and became so surprised that he just stood there. And because this man was just standing there, I had to stand in front of him too. And after a while, he shook his head and said, so you also come to bathroom? But on that day, more than the fellow church member who was surprised to see me in the bathroom, I was even more surprised to see him be surprised by seeing me. This was a huge shock to me. That he thought that I was someone who does not even go to bathroom meant, in one word, that normally he didn't consider myself as the same as him. On that day, I gained a very valuable understanding through him, that pastors live in a treacherous trap that could easily lead him to forget his station. So after that day, I never hesitated in revealing what a terrible person I am. This is never to forget that, like the confession of Apostle Paul. The reason that I came to live as a pastor, to become who I am, is wholly due to the grace of God. If I forget my station, then I will If I forget this fact, then I will surely turn into a thorn bush that, far from bringing life to others, will turn into a thorn bush which will stab numerous people with words of God, and at the end, stab myself before God as a result. Now, how could there be a more tragic ending for a pastor than that? Now, chapter 25, verse 6 of the book of Job compares man to a maggot. In the beginning, God made man with earth, and by breathing his breath of life into him, man became a living being. But men who sinned due to Satan's temptation lost God's breath of life and returned to earth. So all men, while they're alive, are self-centered and are possessed by selfishness and live as thorn bushes that pricks and stabs other people, and who are pricked and stabbed in return, and the moment their breathing stops, become food for the maggots and end up becoming a handful of earth. This is life. How can anyone be an exception to this? Is there anyone who is an exception to this? Was Alexander the Great of the West and Genghis Khan of the East exception? Definitely not. They had hurt more people than anyone while they were living. and lived as weapons, the thorn bushes, who had also hurt themselves and stabbed themselves and decomposed as food for the maggots and disappeared without trace as a handful of earth. If this is the finality of all men, then it is also what we will be in the future. If we do not know this, there is nothing we can do. But if we know this, can we just should we just wait to become food for the maggots, to become a handful of earth? Shouldn't we try to find a way to transcend the thorn bushes, the maggots of the cemetery, and the earth of the cemetery? But there is no such way within ourselves. That way is given only by God, by the grace of God. God our Father, in order for men to recover the breath of life that men had lost by sinning, sent Jesus Christ to this earth. Because Jesus Christ had died as an offering on the cross in order to pay for our sins, anyone who is in Jesus Christ can be restored to living beings that have the breath of life from God. It is only when we recover ourselves as living beings that have breath of God within us that we can live as true men, like men. It is only when a man recovers himself as the living beings who has the breath of God in him that he will no longer be the thorn bush who hurt other people and himself, and become the pathway of life and love who brings life to other people. It is only when a man recovers himself as a living being who has the breath of life from God in Jesus Christ that he will transcend the maggots and the dirt of the cemetery and will come to enjoy eternal life. In order for us to live that life, to give us that life, the Lord is now present among us. But people who do not know their station, the Lord cannot be seen by them. It is only he who knows that he is a thorn bush, a food for the maggot, a mere earth. Only those who knows his personality and his heart, only who knows his station, who will see the Lord and paradoxically will be able to transcend the thorn bush, the maggot, the dirt of the cemetery, and recover the breath of life of God and live as a living being. Let us pray. Dear Lord, all these times I thought of myself as an olive tree that gave off fragrant oil, a fig tree that bears sweet and beautiful fruits, and a grapevine that produces wine of life. But today, before the mirror of your words, I realize that in reality, I am the thorn bush, a weapon which stabs myself as well as others. All this time, I had thought that I was much better than other people. But through God's words today, I realize that I, like other men, am merely a food for the maggots, a handful of earth. I thank you that you made me understand this important fact before yet another day are lost. Help us not to commit the foolishness of repeating the wrongful life that we lived, even after realizing this important fact. Allow all of us who are sitting here today to invite the Lord who is present at this place as the Lord of our lives. Help us to recover the breath of life of God, which we had lost by sinning in Jesus Christ. Help us to live on as the living beings who have recovered the breath of life of God in Jesus Christ, who paid for our sins on the cross for us. Allow us to breathe in the breath of life of God in Jesus Christ every day in words and prayer. Allow us to live as true men like men who breathe by the breath of life of God. May all of us, by not forgetting that we are but mere human beings, thorn bushes, food for the maggots, and a handful of earth, in not so distant future, paradoxically transcend being the thorn bushes, the maggots, and a handful of earth in Jesus Christ, and live on as a pathway of eternal life and love that brings life to other people, so that we will be able to confess before you in the same way that Apostle Paul had, that we are who we are by the grace of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.